This audio presentation is the teaching of Chaplain Frank Castagnetti. Many of us struggle with issues over self-worth. We're encouraged, though, when people we respect say positive things about us. In this week's message, entitled, Who Am I?, Frank explores who we are from God's eyes and how his opinions about us should affect our faith and behavior. This message was delivered on August 19, 2018. Here now is Frank Castagnetti.
Am I on? Good. Good morning, New Hope. Morning. How's everybody doing? One more hand for Kahea. That was just beautiful. I was not expecting that as part of... Pastor Aaron just puts these specials together that blow me away, and I'm just so grateful for that. I wanted to welcome everybody here. I know it got warm all of a sudden. I woke up this morning and it was nice. I was like, oh, it's beautiful out, not as muggy. I didn't feel like I had a wet blanket on me, but I think someone threw it on us again. Today, I don't know, for whatever reason, when I was putting this sermon together, this message, and God was talking to me, and there was a lot going on with coming off the summer, transitioning into school. And I'm sure all of you have experienced that. You know, what are we doing? What roles do we have? The kinds of things we do. So when we ask ourselves this question, who am I? We usually answer it based on, like, our life experiences, our education, our occupation, what we've done, those kinds of things. That's how we define ourselves, right? We're sons, we're daughters, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, right? We have those roles. That's who we are. We're friends. We're bosses, we're co-workers. Some of us are survivors of really some challenging and horrific events and experiences. The list is huge. We could just sit here and just go, I am, and just fill it in all day long. And it's unique to each one of us, and I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. I encourage you to take note every now and then and look at yourself and go, I'm this, I'm doing this. Those are healthy for us. Reflect on those things. It's normal. It's how we connect, yeah? For instance, you go to a class reunion, and you know, you're walking in, and one of the first questions someone asks you after all those years, hey, so what you doing nowadays, right? And already, somebody trying to level up with you, right? And then so you're trying to gauge who this person was. You know, we go to a conference or a seminar or a meeting. We introduce ourselves. Hi, my name's Frank. And if it's related with school, I give my title and where I work, right? If I'm at school, that's what I do. When I'm here at church, it might be something different. We go through this. We rehearse this for the audience that we're going to be meeting with. When I'm at the track, it's a different set of people. You know, so we all do that, right? You know, but we also, you know, you think of that class reunion. You think back to those high school days, and you think of that classmate who was just high maka maka, always looking down at you and always making you feel less than. You got to come up with, I've done this, and I've done that, and I've accomplished this stuff, because you're trying to level or make up for something, right? We all do. I do that. Am I the only one? No, I must be the only one. So, you know, or what about other folks that we look up to? Other people that we aspire to be. We're trying to see, well, they've done certain things. They've accomplished certain things in their life. They've got this level of education. I've done this. So that as if we're parallel with them, we're trying to make a connection, right? What about at work, that irritating, thorny beast kind of coworker that's always there and they're just always pulling you down? We're going to try to make sure that where we're at is maybe a little above them or off on the side, like we're a little untouchable and, you know, they can't get to us and those things. We just do this naturally in who we are, who we identify ourselves are at. But here's the challenge. Who does God say we are? Who does he say I am? Who does he say you are? The Bible is filled with just descriptions of who God says we are. It just goes on and on and on. And I got really bogged down trying to narrow the list because, you know, you hit a concordance or you Google things and then you're just, I was just going and going and going. I was doing so much of it, I got into trouble and my message was late to get turned in, and Pastor Aaron and Pastor Scott were like hounding me. Where's your message? It's almost done. It's almost done. Now it's done. Now it's done. Now I'm proofreading. And I was stalling because I just couldn't get the couple of things I wanted that I felt were impactful. So finally, I got it done, threw it together, sent it back out, and I'm like, okay, whoo. But, you know, some of the things that the Bible says we are, we're chosen, we're blessed, we're a son, we're a daughter of the King, right? Not just sons and daughters in this earthly world. We're priests, we're saints, we're a friend. God calls us friend. So if he calls us, for me, a friend, I must be his friend, right? We're an heir. We're an heir to the kingdom in heaven. We're free. We're blameless. We are citizens of heaven. We're complete. That was like a small list of the things that Scripture speaks to us about. But I've picked a few here today that I think have some meaning for me and seem appropriate as a reminder of how God sees us. And the paradox here, folks, is that we seem to always default to identifying what the world says is important by what I wear, you know, what I drive, where I live, what school I go or went, how many likes I get on, you know, social media, those kinds of things. And there's some importance and value in there, but I don't want us to get bogged down or forget that God calls us for other things, and he finds other things that are valuable in us. We want to be trustworthy, right, and honest and reliable. Those are characteristics and traits that the world upholds, and those are important as well. But I don't want us to get lost in trying to meet all these expectations of the world that we have. You know, we're trying to get here to church, and then we go back out, and people's, you know, your minds are attending to here and there and what else you've got to get done. I want us to remember what Scripture says is our focus. So the first one is, I am a new creation. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 in the New King James. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We're new creations. Brand new creations when we come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Second, I'm forgiven. We are forgiven, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. We're forgiven. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, 14, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. See, with Jesus' death and resurrection, all our sins, all our transgressions, all our shortcomings are forgiven. Our tab is paid. God casts our sins into the sea of forgetfulness, right? Think of that, an omnipotent or omnipotent God who can do anything at any time, whatever he wants to do. He simply chooses to forget our mistakes and our missteps and our sins. He just goes, huh? About what? You did what? I don't remember that. I don't know what you're talking about. Here you are now. We're going this way. No, don't. I don't know where you're at. He just forgets it. That's just mind-blowing in a big, big sense. He just doesn't remember. Number three, I am saved. In Hebrews chapter 7, it says, therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. That term, right, that part, save to the uttermost. You know, to the uttermost means you've given everything you have, all your blood, all your sweat, all your tears, all your energy. You're just flat out exhausted, spent, nothing left, done. That is to your uttermost. That's how much God has placed in our salvation. When Jesus was resurrected, we're guaranteed eternal salvation with him in heaven. Being lost in this world must be such a terrifying experience. Now, for those of us that know the Lord, for those of us sitting here that are coming to build a relationship with Jesus, we operate in the world. We're here, but we're not of the world, right? But it still gets scary. It gets scary for me sometimes, a lot of times, not sometimes. All day long, there's things that are going on, and I'm like, wait a second, hold on. This isn't what God says I am. This isn't who he professes me to be. And I need to stay centered on those things so I can do his work out wherever I'm at. To be lost in this world, we have no sense of place. We have no sense of grounding. We have a constant wandering, a yearning that'll never be met till you come to know Jesus. There's things we can do to feel satisfied along the way, but we have an eternal peace knowing where we're going and what God calls us to be. Now, these first three that we talked about here, I'm a new creation, I'm forgiven, I'm saved. To me, I'm kind of looking at that as they're important, but they're kind of bread and butter believer kind of things. We know that we're new creations when we get baptized and we come to know the Lord. We know that there's the forgiveness of our sins, and we know that we're saved. So then I was going through all the other descriptions of what God says we are, and then I picked three more. I did three more. That I felt were really important. They really struck me. So the first one, number four, I am delightful. Okay? I'll read you the scripture. In Zephaniah chapter 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. The mighty warrior saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you. He will rejoice over you with singing. So in this scripture here, it has take great delight in you, and then rejoice over you with singing. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever had the word delightful in your name used in the same sentence, but I know it wasn't for me. It's like, Frank's very delightful because of. I don't think it's happened. I can imagine my mom and dad going, won't it be delightful when Frank is back in school? Then we get our life back. I could see it like that. But God doesn't see us. He takes delight in each one of you. He finds us delightful. And then he sings over us. I don't know of any other God, of any other religion, of any other deity that died and came to heaven, doesn't want anything from us but to believe in him, and that he still finds us delightful and sings for us. Everywhere else, we're chasing what is to be a God, chasing what is to be saved, chasing what is to be fulfilling so that we get something. God says, you don't have to do anything but believe in me and trust me. Number five, we're wonderfully made. We are wonderfully made, ladies and gentlemen. In Psalm 139, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. I know I'm super critical of myself. I share that with friends and folks and that are close to me. And, you know, I let it, I did this and that and the other thing and all of those things. I know I'm flawed, I'm defective. We know that as spiritual beings here on earth. We have things in us, but God has worked through those. We're not defined by those challenges that we have. However, I have a choice. Yeah, I prefer to think that I'm complete, that I'm whole, that I'm well-built. And that even though there's truth that the flaws are somewhat of a reflection of my flesh, that allows me to be humble and come to God and go, I can't do this, right? Remember the last month when I talked, it was like, I can't remember if it was Proverbs or Psalms, you know, Frank plans, God direct my steps. It's okay for us to make plans, but we got to remember to take it to God and direct the steps. Usually I'm like, here's my plan, and here's where I'm going, and I leave out the part of God letting God direct my steps. We don't want to do that. Being wonderfully made means God has done his uttermost to create every one of you in his image in a very specific pattern that you're the only one. You are the only one, and you are wonderfully made. Lastly, I am a masterpiece. Danny Gokey has a nice song out called Masterpiece. If you can listen to it, man, it's very beautiful, very, very striking. But we're masterpieces. Ephesians chapter 2, for we are God's masterpiece, period. Just real simple. We are God's masterpiece, right there. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the things he planned for us long ago. What comes to your mind when you hear the word masterpiece? A beautiful sculpture, you know, a painting, maybe some buildings or architecture, or if you're driving and, you know, the ocean is just beautiful at a sunrise or a sunset, maybe it's a classic novel that was well written that really strikes you about something that you've read. God could have done anything he wanted, and he chose to make each of us wonderfully made, and masterpieces that he takes delight in. So here's what I want to leave you with. Masterpieces are priceless. You folks are priceless. You cannot be replaced. They're rare. They're treasures to be treasured. So when you leave here today, I want you to just remember that you are a delightful, wonderfully made masterpiece of the Most High God. He has no reason to do any of this for us, but he does. I'm just trying to tie that together. Leave here today, folks, with everything that's going on in the world, everything that's going on in your life, everything that's happening around you or to you or to people you know and love. Remember that you and they are masterpieces that are wonderfully made that Jesus takes delight in every single day. Amen. At this time, I want to just make a offering out to you folks if you want to come to know the Lord. We usually do this altar call at the end of the messages. So if you could bow your heads and close your eyes. If you could all say this prayer with me, but especially if you are going to make a commitment for your first time to know the Lord, if the worship team could come back up. So say this prayer with me, ladies and gentlemen. Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins. Come live in me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your eyes closed and your head bowed, if you said that prayer for the first time and you're coming to know the Lord, can you just raise a hand real quick? Thank you. I see you. Put your hand down. Father, you've seen the hands that were raised and you see the ones that weren't, Lord God, but you heard everyone say this prayer, Lord God. Lord, I just ask you to welcome everyone in, to just let heaven rejoice, Lord God, that the prodigal sons and daughters are returning to you, the utmost shepherd, Lord God, and that we just leave here, Lord, knowing we are masterpieces, that you take great delight in, that you are wonderfully made, and that we are perfect in your eyes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We say thank you to Chaplain Frank. If you're wondering why Pastor Scott is not here this morning, Pastor Scott, as we said a couple weeks ago, he went to his mom's funeral this morning. Yeah, so he was away, and he said, "Hey, Aaron, I know you're going to be doing 2 weeks in a row, but can you do the message?" And of course I said, "Sure." I'm not going to tell him no. I said, "Sure." And then he called me up, called me back like an hour later and said, "Oh, you don't have to do the message. Frank said he would step up and do the message." I love Frank. So thank you for knowing who you are. And would you stand with us, and we're going to take this out, singing unto the Lord. Let's sing, "I Know Who I Am."
You've been listening to Chaplain Frank Castagnetti at New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.